Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, hey, we're still in this series called Think Different. And this is actually a five-week series. We're going to be continuing this next week. We're going to be wrapping it up next week. But as I always say, if you missed any of them, they're kind of building upon each other, but they're different as that goes. But you can always check those out or go back and listen to those at our website at www.mylifechangechurch.com. But through this series, what we're doing is we're talking about how God wants us to think. We're talking about how we can have the mindset that He desires us to have so that we can experience all that He wants for us. We started off, we talked about how we can be optimistic, and we learned that we are not optimistic based on what we feel, but we are optimistic based on what God says. And then we talked about how to think generous, and we learned that we are the most like God when we give, and we are the most like Jesus when we serve. And then last week, we jumped in and had a message talking about how we can be an encourager. We talked about how even we can go from a place of discouragement to a place where we have been encouraged, and then we can transfer that over, and we can encourage others as well. We learned that God works through encouragement. And next week, as we go into Thanksgiving, we're going to talk about gratitude, fitting enough, right? So, and today, though, we're going to jump in. We're going to talk about how we can have the mindset of confidence. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, right, just to be on the same common ground, I'd be willing to say that every single person has struggled with a lack of confidence at some point in their life, right? In fact, if you've ever struggled with a lack of confidence, maybe just raise your hand right now. If you've ever been, I'm not confident, right? If you're not raising your hand, you're probably not confident in the deodorant that you put on this morning. I'm just going to throw that out there. But a lot of times, people who are confident or even overconfident are actually struggling from a lack of confidence as well. I think at one point or another, we all have wrestled with this insecurity. We've all lacked some confidence. And if you think about it, it really stems from kind of our lack of confidence in ourselves, our inability to really be certain about what we can do. We see a task at hand and we think, you know what, I can't do that. And we become a little bit insecure about ourselves, right? We see something that somebody else does and all of a sudden we compare ourselves to them and then we become insecure about ourselves. And this uncertainty can drive us crazy. I mean, I think we all wrestle with it. Again, this past week, if you look at it, there's a lot of uncertainty in this country right now, right? There's a lot of uncertainty. I think there's so much division. We can think, you know what, man, I'm just unsure about the future. And then this transfers over into our personal life, and I think we can be unsure about ourselves as well. We feel insecure around others. We feel insecure by ourselves, and we feel insecure about our lives. If you're like me, we have these many areas of insecurity. These areas where you just feel like, you know what, I'm not good enough. Like, sometimes I even question myself, like, am I being a good enough dad, right? Am I being a good enough husband? Am I being a good pastor? Am I doing everything I can to do? And it's questions and questions and questions. And then it may even just be simple stuff like, you know what, you look in the mirror and you're thinking, like, dude, this shirt looks terrible. Like, I look like a lumberjack for crying out loud. But I'm going with it anyways, right? I think we could question ourselves enough. I think oftentimes we do, and this constant questioning goes on, and we wrestle with it. We battle with this insecurity, and then these questions can even turn into this self-deprecating talk, this self-talk that nobody else hears, but we constantly hear it. That voice in our head that we continually, instead of saying that you can do this, says that you can't, right? You're not going to add up to anything. You're not going to be able to do this, right? And again, this is where I'm at. Like, this is, I'm preaching to myself today, and I found myself in this place so many times. I think we all have, right? Where instead of saying, you know what, you can do this, you've got this, we say, we hear, you can't. You don't have what it takes. You're going to mess up. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. And we wrestle with these negative thoughts. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we probably admit this is where we find ourselves. Maybe even on a daily basis, maybe a weekly basis, maybe a monthly basis, right? And the crazy thing is, anything can trigger it, right? Just walking by a mirror can trigger it. A little comment from somebody else that they didn't mean anything harmless by can trigger all these thoughts of this lack of confidence that we have. All of us, I think we deal with insecurity in so many ways, but I think we all have them. And the problem is that our lack of confidence and our insecurities, they keep us from really living the life that God wants us to live. We let this self-deprecating talk, we let these insecurities lead us away from God's calling for our life. And it happens all the time. In fact, there's some of you here today that maybe you never interviewed for that job that you really wanted because you just felt like you're not good enough, right? There's some of you that maybe didn't jump after that promotion at work because you know what? You're afraid of being able to go there. And maybe you're afraid of that failure and you're letting that insecurity rule you. There's some of you that might not be going back to school because you're like, man, you know what? I'm too old and you're scared of what others might say. There's some of you that might not even be jumping into church full time or jumping into serving because you're thinking like, you have no clue what my past is, right? You have no clue what I've done. I'm not holy enough. I'm not spiritual enough. But the truth is, you're missing out. Many of us, we're missing out because of a lack of confidence in our lives. Many of us, we've missed opportunities because of insecurities that we let rule us. And really, it's tragic. It's tragic to not even try because we're afraid to fail. It's tragic not to attempt something for God because of our lack of confidence. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how we can think different and how we can think with confidence. And we can think with the confidence that only comes from God. In fact, here's what I want you to walk away with. If you get nothing else, get this. We don't need self-confidence. We need God confidence. We don't need self-confidence. We need God confidence. We don't need to be confident in ourselves, right? What we need to do is we need to develop a confidence that only God can give us. And there's a big difference between God confidence and self-confidence, which I want to talk a little bit about today. But my goal today is to challenge you to develop a God confidence in your life so you can live out what God has planned for you. We don't need self-confidence, we need God confidence. And we're going to look at this, we're going to find this here in Proverbs chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, if you see people around you like they're pulling out their phone, you'll think like, what are you doing? It's church, right? We always promote the Bible app that you can put on your phone or tablet. It's an incredible resource that you can take with you wherever you go. But I challenge you to download that. And in Proverbs chapter 3, it's written by a guy named Solomon. And Solomon was kind of like a rock star when it came to dropping wisdom. In fact, like that's the one thing that he asked God for. He asked God for wisdom, and then he shared all that wisdom. So people would travel all over to hear him speak. People would travel from all over to just to get a part of his writings. And what Proverbs is, it's a collection of his writings. It's a collection of his wisdom and the wisdom that he shares. And Proverbs 3 is like solid gold. Like regardless if you're a Christian or not, there's some amazing life lessons in Proverbs chapter 3. In fact, there's some amazing lessons in all of Proverbs. So I'll challenge you to go back, read the entire chapter this week, maybe even read the entire book, or if nothing else, maybe put it on your daily plan. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs, so it works out really nice to go on a monthly reading plan. But read your Bibles daily. Don't just wait for a Sunday to read your Bibles, but read your Bibles daily. But today we're going to read Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read verses 5, 7, and then verses 24 through 26. So check this out here. Verse 5 says this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Then verse 7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And then we'll bounce to verse 24 where it says, "When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." So let's jump into this and dig in this. Back in verses 5 and 7, it says, "Lean not on your own understanding, but do not be wise in your own eyes." What's he saying? He's saying, forget about what we know, right? Forget about what we've learned. Forget about our own understanding. Forget about trying to be wise in your own eyes. Forget about trying to figure it out yourself. Forget about even trying to do it all by yourself. Forget about self-confidence, because it's not going to do any good. Self-confidence is nothing compared to God confidence, which is why he said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, for the Lord will be your confidence." Our confidence shouldn't come from ourselves, but it should come from God. We need to trust him rather than ourselves. We should fear him rather than those around us. We should fear him rather than the environment that we place ourselves in. We should fear him rather than the people who are speaking into our lives. We should fear God, right? We should let him be our confidence. Forget about self-confidence, because really it's useless. But pursue God confidence. We need to ask God to develop something inside of us. We need to ask Him to develop a faith in Him. We need to ask Him to develop a trust in Him, an awe of Him, and a holy fear in Him so that we can be confident in Him. We don't need self-confidence, but we need God confidence. And our tendency, I think, is to be self-confident, right? Our tendency is to try to build our own self-confidence. But if we do that, we really fail. But if you think about it, we do. We try to build our own self-confidence. We try to put our confidence in man rather than God. Again, if you even looked at, if you were on any type of social media this week, if you saw any reactions to the election, it doesn't matter which way you voted. The sad thing is that there is a huge division in this nation. And the division is because they're placing their trust in a person, right? They're placing their trust in somebody other than God. They're placing their trust, even really if you break it down to ourselves as humans, saying, you know what, we can do this, but the truth is we can't. Our own wisdom will get us nowhere. Our own understanding will always leave us falling short. But so many times we fall into this trap of trying to develop this self-confidence, of trying to feeling better about ourselves, but what we're doing is we're completely missing out on God. I think that we have this an unbelievable ability to really deceive ourselves into sin when we're trying to develop a self-confidence. We have this separation from God. Because the truth is, self-confidence, it often leads to pride. And pride is one of the most destructive things that can take place in our lives, right? Pride will cause us to tear others down because what we're doing is we're building ourselves up. Pride will even lead to this fake confidence, which is basically arrogance or even cockiness, right? Pride is poisonous. Pride even helps us, makes us compare ourselves to others because we're looking at others. We're not looking to God, but we're looking to man. It's poison, and pride comes from pursuing only self-confidence. It leads to us following our flesh rather than God's desires. And if the truth is, our flesh is weak, right? Our flesh will always lead us astray because our flesh always kind of just, it's never really stable. See, one day our flesh, it can lead us the right way. One day we can be super spiritual and be thinking like, man, I got this, right? I'm doing this out of my own flesh. I can do this. I have this. But then the next day we just fall on our face, right? Our flesh will lead that. That's what our flesh is. One day we could be rocking it. We think like, man, we're crushing this, right? And then the next day we're completely off our rocker. That's what the flesh is. Like, that's the roller coaster of the flesh. And when we follow our flesh, what we're doing is we're going on a crazy roller coaster ride. And it can be scary. There's nothing wrong with feeling good about yourself, but we need to make sure that we're getting that feeling from God. It's a God confidence, not a self-confidence. And if we're only searching after really this self-confidence, we're missing out. We're missing out on all that God has for us. We're missing out on the life that God wants to max out. And He wants us to live so that we can feel His presence and we can glorify Him in everything we do. We don't need a self-confidence. We need God confidence. And here's why. Jump back with me to Proverbs. We're going to look at verses 24 and 26 because this is good stuff here. It says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Think about this. Imagine in your life, if you lie down, imagine not being afraid, right? Imagine if you didn't walk through life not fearing, you know what, I'm not going to be good enough, right? Imagine if you weren't afraid of failure in your life. Imagine if you weren't afraid that you're going to let somebody down. Imagine if you weren't afraid what others are going to say about you. Imagine how that feels, right? That's what God confidence is, and that's what God confidence does. And then it says, yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Somebody say amen to some sweet sleep, right? That's that inner peace that I think only comes from God. Instead of wrestling at night, instead of being worried, instead of having these panic attacks, instead of constantly being fed and led by this anxiety, you could have this sweet sleep. Think about some areas in your life where you need that inner peace. That's what a God confidence does. It produces what He wants for us. And then it says, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will beat your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. We don't have to be afraid of terror. We don't have to be troubled by the wicked. We don't have to look at the world and think, oh my goodness, it's all over, right? We don't have to look out there and think like this completely, it's ended, right? Everything's falling apart. We don't have to do that because we can be overcomers. With a God confidence, we can beat that nagging sin that continues to bother us. We can beat that nagging issue that keeps rising up. We can beat those things that keep holding us back because we're overcomers. Our foot won't get caught. We won't be stuck. Think about this in your life. Maybe you're here today and you just feel stuck. Maybe you feel like you hit a dead end, right? Maybe you feel beat down, like you can't do it anymore. You have this habit that you want to break, but it just keeps coming up. This issue that keeps coming up. This fear that owns you, that cripples you. This insecurity that keeps you from moving forward, right? What if you could be set free? What if you could have a God confidence in your life? What would that look like? We don't need a self-confidence. We need God confidence. And listen, this is what I want for my life. I want God confidence in my life, and I want this for your life as well. I want you to be able to walk and be confident that, you know what, God has got your back and that you can experience all that he has, that you have that inner peace where you can continue through. So this is what we're going to do is we're going to jump in. We're going to look at some ways that we can apply this to our life so that we can live this out. And number one is this, internalize that our God is always for us. Internalize that our God is always for us. Some of you guys need to just say that out loud to yourself. Some of you need to repeat that. Say, God is for me. Somebody needs to hear that God is for you. A couple weeks back, we read all of Romans chapter 8, which is just an incredible passage of Scripture. And we're going to look here again in verse 31. It says this. It says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Our God is for us. We need to internalize that, right? To have a God confidence, we need to understand and to internalize the fact that God is always for us. I think many times we view the character of God a little bit differently, right? We view the nature of him. I think we actually view it wrong. We think that God is for us just based on performance, right? We think his acceptance is based on what we can do. We think his love is based on our love. And we think his favor is based on our actions. We may say to ourselves, you know what? Like, I had a good day, right? I didn't drop a four-letter bomb or anything, so God's going to answer my prayer, right? We say that in our lives. We think, you know what? I kept my cool today. I didn't flip out on anybody. So God, man, God's going to bless me today, right? We say these different things like, man, you know, I live life. I was good today. Like, so God is going to be good to me. Or maybe on the opposite side, we think, you know what? I completely messed up today, so I got what's coming for me, right? God's going to get me. But the truth is, God is always for us. We'll have our ups and downs, right? We will fall short, but God is always for us. We have a loving God that is for us regardless of what we do how we respond to anything. We have a God that's always for us. I mean, I think about it this way. I think about it with my two kids, right? I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. Let me just tell you this. They are not perfect. Like, in fact, if you've ever seen them around here, you know that they're not perfect. In fact, every day before Griffin goes to preschool, like, I have to remind him of a couple things. I have to give him a pep talk. I say, you know what? You can't talk during nap time. You can't push other kids. You can't get, let's have a no time out day. And listen, he's only had one no time out day this whole entire year. Let me just tell you that much. But I still love him, right? I have to remind him these things, but I still love him. The same thing with Berkeley. I have to remind her that she's not the boss of anybody, let alone everybody. Like, that's... So I have to constantly remind her of her tone. I have to yell at her, like, Berkeley, watch your tone. Like, you sound just like your mother. No, I'm just joking. Hello. But the truth is, like, again, my kids, though, they haven't perfected any of this. Griffin's only had one day without a timeout. Berkeley bosses people around every single day, right? And not only that, they do a lot of other crazy stuff, like, I mean, Griffin's 3 years old, and he still has accidents, like number 2 accidents in his pants. Like, that's disgusting. Like, you'd think I'd kick him out, right? But I don't. I keep him. I try to do the best for him. I try to raise him the right way because I want him blessed. Like, I don't wake up every morning thinking, like, dude, Griffin messed his pants yesterday. I hope he gets what's coming to him, right? I hope somebody throws something in his face. I hope he gets what. Like, I hope he gets punched in the face. No, I don't think that way. God doesn't think that way with us either. God is always for us, and we need to internalize that. We need to understand that we don't live for God's approval, but we live from God's approval. And when we understand this, it changes everything in our lives. It gives us this incredible confidence, knowing that we are already accepted. I'm not saying go live life like it just doesn't matter because God's going to love us. No, we live life the best we can because we live from the approval of a God that loves us regardless, and He wants and desires the best for us. So we have to model everything that He did in His life. We have to look like Him in everything we do, and we do that because of everything that He's given us, right? We're not living from His approval or for His approval, but we're living from His approval. Because Jesus said, I'm accepted because of what He did for us. Because He lived a perfect life for us. He paid the penalty for each and every one of us by dying on a cross. And then He was risen again to give us new life. Our God is for us. We need to understand this. We need to internalize this. When we take a giant step of faith and it's so fearful, we need to take that step knowing that God is absolutely for you. When you want to get out of debt, listen, God is for you. He wants to help you move forward. You want to reconcile a broken relationship, right? And you don't know what to do. The truth is, God is for you, and you can walk and you can go through that process knowing that He's for you. He wants to bless you so that you can bless other people. If you're praying for a miracle, God wants that miracle for you as well. He's for you. He wants to work in your life using everything to bring about good for Him because our God is for us. Listen, we're not confident in ourselves. We're not confident in our flesh. We're not confident in our own hearts, but we're confident in God. We're confident in the goodness that God is for us. And if He's for us, who can be against us? Internalize that God is for us. Number two, remember that God always helps us. To have a God confidence, we need to remember that God always helps us. I think this is another area where probably somebody needs to be reminded of this today. God always helps us. In Hebrews 13, 5 through 6, this is a great reminder, and it says this. It says, God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. Remember that God is always there with us. God is always helping us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And we can say with confidence that He is our helper. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live in fear because He's our helper. And there's something amazing when we know that we have somebody by our side. There's something amazing that happens when we know that we have a helper with us. Listen, I'm going to confess something today. I was a little bit of a dweeb when I was a kid. Like, I was a city boy, and I was kind of nerdy. And yeah, it's true. So... And DJ, our worship leader here, can actually attest to that because we actually grew up together, and DJ was kind of a country boy. Things have kind of flip-flopped in the last 20, 30 years, but he was a country boy, and we grew up together. And so he lived out in Lake Licking Valley, had some woods and all these different things. So when we'd go over to his house, we'd always play in the woods. Well, let me just tell you about DJ, too. And DJ was a little bit of a liar when he was younger. He told me that there was a Tasmanian devil that lived in his woods. Now, I don't know if it's a lie or if I'm just really dumb and gullible, but you can throw that one up on which is which. But he told me that there's this Tasmanian devil that lived out in his woods, right? So when I went over there, I was so scared. I wouldn't even go into the woods. Like, I would freeze up. We'd get to the edge of the woods, and I'd just be like, I can't do it. I can't do it. They'd be out there, and, like, we'd play Cowboy and Indians, and they would go first, and, like, I'm done. Like, I would end up in the house, like, sipping on some chocolate milk or something. Like, that's how the games would go. But if they would go with me, then I could go in the woods, right? If it was either DJ or his older brother, if they would walk with me, I could go out into the woods. I could overcome that fear. They had to be right by my side or else I'd freak out, but I could go out there, right? It was a different story. And I think the same thing's true for us. Many of us, we have areas in our life where we're afraid to step out, where we're afraid to take that next step. We're frozen because we just need a helper. We need someone by our side to remove that fear. And our God always helps us. He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us and to walk with us. The Lord is my helper, so we don't have to be afraid. There's some of you right now that are maybe in the middle of a difficult situation, and you need to recognize that God is your helper through it. Maybe your marriage is in trouble today. God stands ready to bring healing to your marriage. He's right there ready to help. Maybe you're stressed financially, right? But God is your provider. Listen, He still wants you to work. Don't just sit around thinking God's going to pour in money, but he gave you abilities. He gave you talents so that you could go work, so that he could help and he could provide for you. Some of you, maybe you want to jump out and take a leap of faith and start a ministry or do something where you're really reaching and you're making an impact on others. God stands right there next to you, ready to help you in that step of faith, ready to help you to reach people. Maybe you've got a hard conversation you have to have, and you're wondering, how are you going to do it? Where are these words going to come from? God's going to be right there providing the words for you. Our God provides the presence of the Holy Spirit to give you comfort, to give you peace that goes beyond anything that we can understand. Our God is our helper. There's many of you right now in the middle of that difficult time, and you're probably hearing me say this, and you're thinking, yeah, but God's missing. Like, I don't feel him, right? You say, yeah, you say God's our helper, but it's just not connecting. It doesn't feel like he's there. It doesn't feel like he's helping. Let me just say this. Sometimes you can't see it in the moment, but sometimes you can only sense it in hindsight. But the truth is, God will carry you through. He will help you trust again. And when you look back, you'll be able to say, you know what, I didn't see him at that time. I didn't even feel him at that time, but I can see now where he was working. I can see how he was working. I can see what he was doing, right? I can see that he was carrying me. I can see that he was sustaining me. We can look back and see that we were not alone. God's going to take us through it so that we can get to something else. I can look back in my life. I can see this, right? I can see areas where, like, I felt like God was completely abandoning me, where I felt like I was at, like, just really completely down and out, but I look back and what God was doing, he was building something in me. God's still with you. So in your current situation, I would challenge you to take a moment and maybe even reflect on how God worked in the past. Take a moment, look back. You know what? God helped me here, so he's going to help me here. Reflect on God, how God helped you in the past. Because when he was with us back then, he's going to be with us coming up. He's going to be with us now. This is why Psalms 46:1 says this. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. God is our refuge and our strength, and he's ever-present. He's the ever-present help in our trouble. He's with you then, he's with you now, and he's going to be with you always. He's helping you. Remember that God always helps us. Internalize that God is always for us, and remember that God always helps us. And then number three, recognize that God is still working on us. Recognize that God is still working on us. God is still working on you. God is still working on me. We are not finished. It doesn't matter if you're 10 years old. It doesn't matter if you're 110, right? He's not finished with us. That little kid song applies to us, right? He's still working on me to make me what I need to be, right? It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. So today you're going to walk away with two songs that will be stuck in your head, just to let you know. Hail, Hail, Line of Judah will stay in there for at least a week and a half. We just do that for fun. And then this one, this will pop up about 3 p.m., so we can thank me for that. But really recognize that, right? Recognize that God is still working on us. We're not confident in our own abilities. We're confident in God because he's still doing a work in and through us. Philippians 1:6 says this. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is still working on us. Recognize this. Understand this. So I think many of us, we probably did something wrong this week, and we probably came in here, and we probably even heard the voice of the devil saying, you know what, you're not even good enough to go to church because you feel this guilt, you feel this shame that you're carrying around with us. But understand that God is still working on us. There's some of us that were probably wrestling with spiritual doubts. We're thinking like, well, by this time, I should be beyond these doubts, right? I should have complete confidence in this. I should be well beyond where I am. But understand, God's not finished yet. He's still working on you. He's still working in you. There's some of you guys that are probably still stuck in that same old sin, right? That same issue, and you can't seem to get out of it. You're thinking like, by this time, I should have been better, and you're beating yourself up. By this time, I should have been more spiritual, right? I should have been more holy. But the truth is, God is still working on you. He's still working in me. He's still working in us. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We need to recognize that God's still working on us. Listen, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what voice of insecurity that you're experiencing. I don't know what the struggle and the lack of confidence that you're going through, but I hope you understand this, that you can be confident that our God, who began a good work in you, will be faithful to carry it out until completion. God is for you. God is helping you. And God's still working on you. Let's think different. Let's think with a God confidence. We don't need self-confidence. We need God confidence. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for speaking to us. God, we thank you for calling us to think with confidence. And more importantly, we thank you for calling us to think with that confidence that only you can give. And we thank you that we can be confident in you. We thank you that we can live out a God confidence. And help us to live that out in our life. Help us to live that out in our life so that we can experience all that you have for us. Help us internalize that you are always for us, God. Even when we feel like the world's against us, God, you are still for us. Help us to remember that. Help us to remember that you're always helping us, God. And God, help us to recognize that you're still working on us. There's still some areas that you're fine-tuning. God, the best is yet to come for each and every one of us because you're still working on us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangedchurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.